You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following Lutheran Hour sermon was delivered by the Reverend Wallace Schultz. We hope you enjoy his message titled, The World's Greatest Challenge. And now, here's Reverend Schultz.
War is hell. This slogan, coined by the famous U.S. Civil War general William Tecumseh Sherman, also describes his most famous military campaign. After being repeatedly rebuffed and constantly embarrassed by maneuvering Union forces under the capable leadership of General Johnston, General Sherman, with 60,000 soldiers, embarked on his infamous march to the sea. They began their march of destruction on November 15, 1864, in Atlanta, Georgia, and they ended the campaign in Savannah, Georgia, near the sea, 36 days later on December 21. Behind this movement of military men lay a swath of economic waste and destruction, 50 miles wide and over 200 miles long. Pages of history are filled with similar descriptions of destruction, resulting from orders of commanders, commands of generals, proclamations of presidents, and edicts of kings. How encouraging then to see not the negative consequences, the annihilation and destruction, but rather the positive results of the command, yes, the Great Commission, spoken from the lips of our Lord Jesus Christ. The blessed Savior said to his loyal followers, "Go into all the world, make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Teach them to observe all things," Jesus said, "that I have commanded you." And lo, the Savior added, "I am with you always, even unto the end of the age." This command of our Savior, this divine directive of our crucified and resurrected Lord, this Great Commission set in motion a campaign for the past 19 centuries, which has brought not negative and destructive results, but positive and constructive results. Christ's commission of mercy has brought the good news of God's gospel. It has done what no other power can do. This gospel of God's grace has provided help and hope to the discouraged, the burdened, and those engulfed in despair. This great commission, which required immense and enormous courage to carry out, was all based upon the completed work of atonement of the long-promised Messiah. Isaiah the prophet spoke of this Messiah when he said, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives and freedom to prisoners, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, and to comfort all those who mourn." This program to which you are now listening is also the result of dedicated and consecrated Christians who heard Christ's commission clearly, and then they responded enthusiastically. Already at the early part of this century, a small band of men with confidence in the crucified Christ said, "The gospel of God's grace and mercy is so important and so powerful to heal and to save, and the situation of our society is so desperate in its lost and alienated condition that we must, yes, we must use every avenue possible, including the electronic media with the Lutheran Hour, to spread God's message of hope and help as quickly and to as many as possible while there still is time." These faith-filled men were impelled by the inspired Word of God, which states, "We must work, yes, we must work as long as it is day, before the night comes when no man can work." On this program, we never brag about what we do. All glory, yes, all glory is given to God and to God alone. Even the very idea The dream of the one man to begin this worldwide work was the product of God the Holy Spirit. And we never claim to run a perfect organization. Nevertheless, there is one thing that we have stated clearly and repeatedly on this program without apology. We proclaim Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Our battle cry is also the same as God's word recorded in 1 Timothy chapter 1, where we read, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners." Our program offers no pious panaceas of man-centered solutions. The central message of this program is never grounded in the aggrandized efforts of men to save self or society. The central proclamation of this media mission is to announce that Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem, precisely as this was predicted and prophesied from of old, that He, Jesus, was crucified outside the city walls of Jerusalem, and that He, Jesus, rose victoriously from the dead on Easter morning, and that He, Jesus, was gloriously taken up again into heaven. This Jesus, this Messiah of mercy, purely out of unconditional love, left the majesty of the heavens, was born of a virgin, and died on a cruel cross. Isaiah the prophet tells us that His voluntary death on the cross was accepted by God the Father as a worthy sacrifice for the sins of all mankind. Yes, our Savior's innocent death was graciously received by the Heavenly Father as a full and as a complete payment for all of your sins and all of my sins, of gossip, of our lack of worshiping regularly every week, of sins of failure to help our neighbors, our sins of short and unkind words toward our families. Yes, the blood of Jesus Christ was shed on the cross of Calvary to pay for our most secret sinful thoughts. Oh, there may be those who try to make fun of the crucified Christ, and there may be those who deride the hope of heaven, and there may even be those who find humorous or even laughable God's gracious offer of complete and total forgiveness through the atoning work of Christ. But if you have been tempted to disregard the grace of God and the loving call of Christ to you and to come to Him for healing and hope, then before you continue in your lost condition, remember the solemn words of the sacred scriptures which warn, and I quote, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ." And this, my friend, includes you, and it includes me. Someday we will be judged. So then it is with a humble heart and a repentant spirit and a soul filled with Christ-like humility that we say today that God has enabled this radio broadcast of hope to offer our Heavenly Father's full and unconditional forgiveness to all. To all who by faith trust in the saving power of Jesus Christ. This program is now heard in over 2,000 stations, in 110 different countries, and in 31 languages. During this past decade, countless hearts have been touched by the gospel, innumerable lives have been uplifted, and even in our human weaknesses, God has used the frail hands of our technicians and the speakers' voices on this program over the last 61 years to bring words of encouragement and hope to places as far removed as England and Indonesia, joy to Jamaica and Japan, hope to Honolulu and Houston, and help to people as far removed as Edmonton and Australia. Now, when Jesus commanded to His followers to take the gospel into all the world, He was not asking that mere religious rules be proclaimed, and Jesus was not requesting that religious admonishments be tyrannically trumpeted among His hurting humanity. No, God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world. On the contrary, God sent His Son into the world so that the world might be saved through Him. God has made a general call unto the world to repent and to return unto Him. In the second epistle of Peter, we read, "God is not willing that any should perish, but that all, yes, that all should come to repentance." And now this same Lord is lovingly speaking to you, individually and personally. If you have been aimlessly wandering far from God, and if you have been random and lackadaisical in your prayer life, if your time is consumed by what you want to do for yourself instead of what God wants you to do for Him and for others, then it is surely time for you to stop for a moment. Take a moment and think of what God has done for you so graciously. Yes, He has done it for you personally. And with this in mind, let me mention a news story broadcast not long ago. And perhaps this incident may help you to grasp the biblical truth about the grace and the love that God has for you today. Several months ago, a California Highway Patrol officer responded to a traffic accident. And when he arrived, he could not believe his eyes. His own 16-year-old son had been killed in the crash. When this officer learned that his son was no longer alive, his superiors immediately gave him a leave of absence. This tragic scene must surely touch even the most non-emotional. And if you are touched today, even a little bit, by this tragic story, then perhaps you will also begin to understand the grace and the mercy that God is showing toward you. In spite of your sins and your failures, God is today offering you His love and unconditional grace. When Jesus died on the cross, this was God's Son. This was His only Son. And just as an earthly father does not want to see his own son dead, so also God did not want to see His own Son to die, except that He did it all out of love for you. And the perfect life that Jesus lived is now being offered to you as a worthy substitute for all of your failures in your life. And the death that Jesus died is a death that you should have died because of your stumblings and your shortcomings. But God has willed it to be this way. God loves you. God is holding out His arms of love open wide for you. God is willing to take you back, even though you know in your heart that you don't deserve it. In his letter to the Ephesians, the Apostle Paul summarizes the hope of God's gospel so beautifully. He writes like this: In Jesus, yes, in Jesus Christ, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of God's grace, which God has now lavished upon us. And this good news of God's grace is not to be kept to a few people, or even to a chosen group or a chosen people. Therefore, Jesus commanded that the good news of His victory over sin, over death, and over the devil be spoken, preached, taught, yea, even broadcast to all the nations of the whole world. And so then Jesus is saying to you today, go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Teach them to observe all that I have ever commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. This great commission of God's gospel of grace is the only hope that our dying world has. And it is the only hope that you have. And it is the only hope that I have. And it is therefore our sincere prayer that God will enable you, through your fervent prayers and your generous financial gifts, to join hands with us to tell the whole world of God's good news of hope and to continue on to bring Christ to the nations. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed this message. The Lutheran Hour is a listener-supported ministry of the International Lutheran Layman's League.